joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Wafted on the roaming tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing it softly through the gloom, when for heart the mercy craves.
Sing in triumph for the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory.
Wonderful, special Jesus saves. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Joshua in chapter 4 this morning? Joshua 4, when you find your place there. If you're able to, if you'd please stand with me as we read the word of the Lord this morning. Joshua in chapter 4. And I trust you've come to worship the Lord, to sing his praises, to give, and all those things. But I hope that you've come most of all to hear from the word of God this morning, because we believe that he wants to speak to us. So let's open our hearts and ears this morning as Pastor comes and preaches. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read aloud as you follow along quietly there in your copy of the Word of God. Chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says this: "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Our Heavenly Father, it's been a joy to be in your house already, to hear, Lord, the praises that have been sung unto you, Lord, to watch your people as we sing. Lord, I ask that you would bless now the preaching of your word. Be with Pastor Becker as he comes with the message that you've given to him. Give him the words to say. Open our hearts, Lord. Do with us as you will. And may we leave, Lord, closer drawn to you. We love you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so many times with us. You didn't realize you were coming to church to get a workout today, so I appreciate that. It's Memorial Day weekend. We're probably eating more, so we probably need more up and downs and all that. I don't know how that will go with you. But in Joshua chapter number 4, we'll want to look at this passage today about Joshua and the command that God gave them with these stones. As we think about this Memorial Day weekend, what does that mean to us as a Christian? Let's look at this first of all. As a country, we celebrate Memorial Day. The Civil War ended in the spring of 1865. It claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history and required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and reciting prayers. It's unclear where exactly this tradition originated. Numerous different communities have independently initiated the memorial gatherings. In 1966, the federal government declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day. It first celebrated this day on May the 5th, 1866, and it was chosen because it hosted an annual community-wide event during which businesses closed and residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. This Memorial Day, as it was originally called, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of the 20,000 Civil War soldiers buried there. In World War I, in Flanders, Belgium, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, a Canadian who served as a brigade surgeon for an Allied artillery unit, spotted a cluster of poppies that spring shortly after a battle. He tended to the wounded and got a first-hand look at the carnage of that clash. He was struck by the sight of the bright red blooms on the ground. McCrae wrote a poem in Flanders Field, in which he channeled the voice of the fallen soldiers buried under those hardy poppies. In Flanders Field, it says, "In Flanders Fields the poppies blow between the crosses row by row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders Field." And World War I, red poppies were worn in remembrance of this Flanders Field, as the poem was given to commemorate Memorial Day. Each day on Memorial Day, a national moment of remembrance take place at 3 o'clock on Memorial Day, in this moment of silence to honor the over 1.1 million people that gave their lives for our freedoms. And yet how quickly we take those for granted. 1.1 million people that gave their lives didn't take our freedoms for granted. They gave their lives for our freedoms. And many, many others, as we will recognize as well, that gave their lives and their time to give their time to serve our country as well. Memorial Day is a special day, not just for a day off, not just a day to spend time with family and barbecue or whatever you may do or go to the lake, but it's a time to think about those that laid their lives down for our freedoms. The flag is more than just something to wear. It's more than just something to decorate our houses with. It's something to remember for our freedoms. The red and those stripes represent the blood that was shed for our freedom. And yet how quickly we take it for granted, the freedom that's been given to us, and yet we throw it back in the faces of our veterans and those that have given their lives for us. As we look at this passage today, there's a memorial that is set up in Joshua chapter 4. Moses had passed, and Joshua is now the next leader of this nation of Israel. And as you know, that 40 years would have to pass until all of those that were older had passed away before they could enter the promised land. And so God chose Moses and said, "You're the next leader of the Israelites." And God told him, "You're going to go cross over Jordan River. Now, you're crossing this river, there's no bridge, but God said, you don't need a bridge because you're going to go over on dry ground." You think about this, the Israelites entered the promise, they entered the wilderness, left Egypt, going across the Red Sea on dry ground. And as they'd wandered through that wilderness for 40 years, they would end that journey, if you will, going into the conquering of the promised land, and they'd go through this Jordan River as God would separate it on dry ground as well. They started this journey. The Bible says in the last chapter, in chapter 3, verse 5, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." If you want God to do something in your life, with our country, with our church, we must get back to a place of sanctifying ourselves before the God of heaven. Not sanctifying ourselves before other people, but in the sight of God, to get right with the God of heaven. And he told him, "You're about to enter this promised land, this place of promise that God has given to you." And he said, "We need to get some things clean and right in our lives." And he said, "Sanctify yourselves." In verse number 9, it says, "And Joshua said to the children of Israel," chapter 3, verse 9, that is, if I didn't tell you that already, "And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." If you want to see something God done in your life, with our country and our church, you must not only sanctify yourselves, but you must listen to the voice of God. How much today is our country tried to close the mouth and the word of God, thinking that we know better? How foolish are we as people to think that our country was not built on the principles and the foundation of the word of God? Not everyone that helped to build our country was a perfect person or a Christian. But this country, no doubt, was built on the principles of God. And if we're going to try to shut out the word of God and the voice of God, we're shutting out God as well. What a dangerous place to be. He says, sanctify yourselves and then hear the words of the Lord. Listen to what God is going to tell you. And in verse number 10, it says, "And Joshua said, hereby we shall know that the living God is among you." What a great place to be in your life when you're getting right with God, listening to God, and knowing this also, that God is not just anywhere, but that God is with you. That you have the living God with you. They're about to go and face Jericho. As they're going to cross this river, we'll see in a little bit, they'll enter a city of Gilgal, and right on the edge of that is Jericho. That's the first battle they're going to face. But knowing this, they're not facing their battles alone. They're facing with God. These people were terrified hearing about the children of Israel that were going to come and take their lands, because they knew they were already conquered. They knew that they were already defeated because God was on their side. And they're going to have to trust God in their journey. It says, "And you shall know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all the other ites out there as well. But God's going to cast them out, but God is going to go before you and fight your battles for you. If you sanctify yourself, if you listen to the voice of God, if you trust what God says and obey his voice, God is with you," he said. And in chapter 3, verse number 13, it says, "And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of your feet," he tells them to cross the river, and he says, "as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap." But what was the moment that the waters would stand on their edge? The moment that the priest carrying the ark, as soon as they stepped out and as soon as their feet touched that water, they put their instruction and their faith into practice. And God's going to send that water up on its side. You'd say, "Well, I want to wait for God to separate it first before I step across." Well, then where's your faith? Where's your faith then? If you're waiting for God to go before you, God is with you, but he's looking for your step of faith. So they've got to step out by faith, and the waters would separate the one from the other, and the people would go across, the Bible says, on dry ground. Verse number 17, it shall come to pass when the people removed from their tents to come to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant. I'm reading verse 14. Go to verse 17, I'm sorry. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it says this, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. They put their feet in. The Bible says that the Jordan River, it was overflowing at that time. It was at high time. It wasn't a little creek they could just jump over. God's going to separate this water. And God's going to do a miracle. And God's going to show them, before you even enter this promised land, I'm going to show you that I'm with you if you listen to me. I'm with you if you'll obey my voice. And so the priests, they take the ark and they go and step in, and the waters separate, one on one side, one on the other side, and they go across on dry ground until everyone, the Bible says, were passed clean over Jordan. They went through on dry ground. As they went through, as you see in chapter 4, that the Bible says that Joshua told them in verse 2, it says, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And then Joshua gives an instruction. He says, when you go across, I want you to take 12 stones from the middle of Jordan, the place where you walked over on dry ground. I want you to take those stones and bring them with you. And the place where we go to lodge this night, we're going to set those up. In the coming verses, he said, I want you to set them up as a memorial. I want you to set them as a memorial that we can look at, that one day God parted these waters. That one day that God did a miracle for us, and we're going to show that as a sign to come. And they take them over to Gilgal. Look at verse number 6. It says, and it says that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Don't take it offensive that the children don't know about it. They weren't there. They didn't cross over. They don't know what happened that day, but a day will come and that the children would say, what are these stones about? What are these here for? And they're going to remind them about their God that did a miracle for them. In verse 7 it says, and ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. God tells them, I want you to grab some stones. Now, you ever see that commercial where it says, it shows you something and it says not actual size? Well, these are not actual size, okay? But I brought 12 stones with me. These were not out of the Jordan River. These were not the size of the stones that they had. But for example, for today, that God said, I want 12 men, one from each tribe, to come and take a stone. I said, I want you to put it upon your shoulders. I would assume that a stone upon your shoulders was a good sized stone. And I said, I want you to take them, and I want you to carry them out for a memorial for the generations to come. Because the young people don't know about Egypt. They don't know about the wilderness. They don't know the promises of God, maybe, that we know before. Don't worry, there's 12 in here I counted. If not, don't tell me. We're almost there. But I want you to take these stones and set them up that night. However they did, if they stacked them up, if they laid them out, I want you to take these stones. And in verse number 6 it says, it'll be a sign among you. First of all, it was a sign among you. I want you to remember this. Every time you see the stones, you go, I know where that came from. I know what river that came out of. I remember when it parted. I remember watching the priest go and step out there, and I think, I hope God parts it. Maybe they had a prayer meeting off on the side and said, God, I know you can part it, but please don't kill the priest and wash him down river. And he said, it's a sign for you that every time you see these stones, again, not actual size, not from Jordan, but the stones that are representation, that these came out of the river, for you to remember, first of all, It's a sign for you that you serve the God of heaven. You serve a powerful God. You serve a God that can do anything, and this is the God that you serve. So he said, first of all, it's a sign for you. But the next, after that, it says, but then a day is going to come when your children are going to say, what are these stones about? What is this all about? What is this Bible thing all about? What is church all about? What is Jesus dying on the cross thing all about? What is this stuff all about? And you can tell them. You say, let me tell you about what God did in my life. And you can show them the stones and what God has done in your life as a memorial for the next generation to come. See, this younger generation doesn't know. I learned this when we taught youth group for years. How many of you teenagers were born in 2001? Raise your hand. You were alive in 2001. Not a single one of them. All of a sudden, I learned after years that our teenagers didn't know of 9/11. They heard about it. They don't remember that day. They weren't there the day that you got the news that the towers were attacked and that planes were taken over and someone attacked our country. But then again, at the same time, I don't remember some of the battles that you went through and that you witnessed in our country as well. There's a day going to come that the next generation is going to say, what does this flag even stand for? What is this Bible even all about? Why do we go to church and dress up and sing the hymns? And what is Jesus all about? Don't be offended that they don't know these things. You've got to teach them. You've got to show them. Maybe you take them back to that place. See, that's where I got saved right there. That's where God changed my life, at that altar. That Sunday school class is where God built my faith. That's where I brought a friend that got saved that day. This is where God did a work in my life. Let me tell you about my God. You may not know about him right now, but let me tell you about him. Let me take you back to Jordan and show you where the waters crossed, where I came through from one side to the other, and God brought us through safely. In time to come, they tell them about all the battles that they faced and where God brought them through victory after victory. They had a defeat there because they had sinned in Jericho and someone took of the goods there, and they had a defeat in Ai, but they saw victory after victory after victory. Pretty soon that the manna would stop and God would start providing for the land. They'd tell their kids about what the wilderness was like. The kids didn't know what it was like. They'd tell them about what crossing the Jordan was like, but they weren't there. And these stones are a sign for you, but they're a memorial for the generations to come. I've been to a few places in our country where we have memorials. We have monuments. My wife and I got to go on a trip, and we got to go and stand in Gettysburg. 7,000 people lost their lives in that battle. We got to stand there where Abraham Lincoln gave his speech. No, he was not alive when we went there, young people. We went to where the Twin Towers once stood, and now it's a monument of those that lost their lives and heroes that ran in to give their lives for our freedoms. The next generation doesn't know about that unless we teach them right. And if they don't learn it, that's our fault. What mean these stones? What do these stones mean? Number one, it's to remember your heritage. What is this flag all about? To remember your heritage. To remember this, I am an American. I'm an American. I'm not ashamed about it. I'm not going to another country ashamed to say that I'm American. I'm glad to say and proud to say that I'm an American. But even better than that, I'm glad to be called a Christian. To know that I'm saved on my way to heaven, I'm proud to say that I'm a Christian. Why? I have a heritage. I have a heritage in this country. I have a grandfather and a father that served in our country. I have a father-in-law that served for our country. I have a stepbrother that served for our country. Many of you have fought and served for our country. We have a heritage. And our country is getting off course because people are forgetting where we came from. They're forgetting the memorial that maybe has not been set up or has maybe not been taught to the next generation, to teach them what it means to be an American and what that means as a responsibility, not as a privilege. The responsibility, not a right to do whatever you want to do, but a right to do what you ought to do. And as a Christian, to know what that means as your spiritual heritage, that someone has given their life for us to hold the Word of God. People that died to keep the Word of God for us today, to print the Word of God in our language. For Jesus Christ that died to give His life so I can have a home in heaven, I have an incredible and a goodly heritage that's been passed down to me. And so have you as well. You say, I don't know my heritage. I know this, that Jesus Christ died for all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We have a great heritage. Starts with Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He gave His life. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid down His life for every single one of you and for me as well. We have quite a heritage. Before we spit on that heritage, before we try to disgrace that heritage, first of all, there's only one in our heritage that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. Everyone other than that, you and I included, are sinful people. Before we go to tear down monuments and disgrace those that gave their lives for our country, I'm not saying they're perfect people, but they stood for something that was right. There may be things in their life that we would not honor and respect, as it would be for you and I as well. But let's not go around our country and tear down our monuments. Let's respect those that gave their life for our freedom. As they told their young people, they'd say, remember where we came from? We came from Egypt. We were slaves there. Now, those entering the promised land, other than Joshua and Caleb, those were younger, but they came from Egypt. They came from the world. They came from bondage. They said, remember where we used to be? They came from Egypt. Someone laid a foundation for us and sacrificed for us. Remember your heritage. Number two is this, remember your God. Remember your God. In chapter number four, in verse number 19, if you look at that, please, it says, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. And the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. Until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did in the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over. Look at this now. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. This was a testimony of the power of God. That we serve a God that saves. We serve a God that answers prayers. We serve a God that changes lives. We serve a God that can do anything. It's a testimony for Christians, but also these are a testimony for the world. Hey, Jericho, this is a memorial. God can part the waters. God can then tear down that wall. As they marched around and the walls of Jericho fell down flat, that's the God that we serve. Don't forget the God that you serve. We serve a powerful God. We serve a great God. We serve a God that can do miracles, not just in the past, but today as well. We serve a great God. Don't forget about how great a God that we have. Remember that God does miracles, that God helps us to see the victories. As the Israelites, remember when they sent spies into Canaan, and they went in there and said, take 12 men to go into Canaan, and I want you to spy out the land and check on it, bring back the report. They weren't to come back and say if they could conquer the land or not. That was already determined they could conquer the land. But they went in there and said, oh, we can't do it. 10 of them came back and said, we can't conquer the land. They're giants. They're bigger, stronger than us. But what did the people of the land say? They were terrified. They said, they're going to come and conquer us. We know who their God is. What a sad place to get as a Christian, that the world knows more about your God and how powerful He is than Christians do. And you say, well, I know that God can conquer it, but God helps us to see the victories. We are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are conquerors, victorious through God. But also remembering God, remember His sacrifice. Remember this again. No one sacrificed more than Jesus. No one has given more than the God of heaven. God the Father that sent His Son from the splendors of heaven to the sin-cursed earth to be spat upon, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be beaten, to be forsaken by His own, to be nailed on a cross, hanging there naked, His flesh torn apart. You couldn't even tell He was a man. But on that cross, He looked out and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They did not know who they were crucifying that day for some, and then others, they knew. They said, truly, this is the Son of God. No one has sacrificed more than Jesus Christ for you. He gave His all for you. What mean these stones? First of all, it's to remember our heritage, to remember your God, and again, it's to remind the next generation. To remind the next generation, when they come to you and say, what are these stones all about? What does this mean? And at some point, someone might come and try to take these stones and say, let's get rid of these. Can you catch? Let's get rid of the stones. You better hurry and put that Bible down. That took longer than I thought. Good thing I didn't aim for your head. But you may take these stones. Can you guys catch? And someone might take the stones and say, get rid of the stones. What are these all about? And someone may come back and say, whoa, whoa, hold on a second. These stones mean something to me. Let me teach you what these are all about. I'm trying to steal from church here. And you may say, we're not taking these. This is a memorial for God. Let me take a moment to teach you what we do, why we do it, what we believe from the Word of God, because it matters. And we're not teaching the next generation. The world's teaching the next generation the wrong way. As Christians, we must teach the next generation from the Word of God. Teach them right from wrong, biblically speaking. What does this mean? Well, it's a sign for you. It's a memorial for others. So what's the challenge today? Set up some stones as a memorial in your life. What has God done in your life? Think about where God has saved you, where God has brought you from, where God is bringing you to in your life, and set up a memorial in your life. And say, this is what God has done in my life, and I'm not going to forget about it. I'm going to remember what God has done in my life. Number two is this, remember the sacrifice given by God. Remember the sacrifice given by God. Never forget about the death of Jesus Christ. How could we? How could we forget about Him? Because we get too busy going our way, caught up in our own lives to forget about the Savior that died for us. Remember where God brought you from. Remember where God brought you from. They came from Egypt. They came from the wilderness, but they're going to the promised land. Hey, God brought you from somewhere, but He's bringing you somewhere else. He brought you from the world, but God is a place where He is bringing you to in your life, this victorious Christian life, and then teach the generation to come. So what is this flag and this Bible and this church and what are these old people all talking about? Sit down and listen. We have a generation passing off the scene. We have those that are going on and stories are dying with them. They must be taught to the next generation. Parents, grandparents, it's your responsibility to take the Word of God and teach them to the next generation. They're probably not just going to learn it on their own. Someone's got to teach it to them. Tell them about your God. Tell them how God worked in your life. Tell them how God can use them as well and work in their life just as much as He did in yours as well. So what do these stones mean? They mean a whole lot. What has God done in your life? Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. No greater sacrifice has been given than the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God that came to this earth, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that came to die and to pay for your sins and mine. He gave His all, shed His blood to die on the cross, and went to the grave for 3 days and rose again to offer eternal life to all that call upon Him. If you don't know you're saved today, would you simply, humbly ask Him to come into your heart today?